What up, witches, and welcome to Witchin' and Bitchin' a podcast. I'm your host, Darren.
And I'm Vicky. How are you all today? I hope you're doing really, really well.
And for those on YouTube that have spoken...
people do answer me.
There's a word for that, you know. anyways, so today we decided, because this is actually airing, so for those that celebrated, I hope you had an amazing solstice, which was just 2 days ago. Yes, happy solstice to everybody. And also, if you do celebrate, Merry Christmas as well.
Yes, Merry Christmas.
Christmas is in a couple of days' time.
Not far. Happy, and if you don't really celebrate, happy festive season, however you celebrate
exactly.
This time of the year. We hope you enjoy it.
Well, for the secular, what's the other one? Like Kwanzaa?
I'm not sure. There's a lot of other ones.
So many. So many. And there's Krampus, and then there's Yule, and then there's Litha, and then there's just
general Christmas.
We just had Hanukkah as well.
I was going to say, there'll be Hanukkah and everything. So however you celebrate this time of the year, we
hope
you're
holidays.
Happy holidays.
And if you're not on holidays, well, maybe you should be.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Take a sickie. We won't tell anyone.
Yeah, just take it. We should call it taking a witchy.
Oh, taking a witchy.
Take a witchy. It's where you take it out just to be a witch for
witchy
the day.
Day.
I mean, I'm a witch every day, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I've done,
like it's
you know,
the day
I've done
that you
before.
Do. Oh, I love that. Have
no,
you?
I actually took a witchy once. Like, I decided, I was just having a really shit week.
Yeah.
I decided, I intentionally took a witchy. So I called in sick at my job and, you know, insert favorite excuse here, whether it be gastro, migraine, whatever. Like, you know the drill.
Yeah, then
I took a witchy and I went up to the mountains and I went to, like, my favorite little shop. Shout out to Elfheim. And then after that, I also went to the Oracle of Sassafras. Shout out to the Oracle. And I just literally spent the day up in the mountains. And on my drive up, I took the scenic route. So not the most direct route, but the scenic route that goes up all the little windy, bendy roads that, like, snake their way up the mountain. And I had my windows wound down and I was blaring some, was it Wendy Rule?
I was going to say, did you have some, yeah, you're going to have the music as well.
I had some Wendy Rule blaring out the windows. I think it was her, like, Invocation of the Fairies or something, Into the Fairy Forest. Or
album. Into the Fairy Forest.
So I was blaring that, like, winding through all these, like, beautiful, like, it's like
foresty, isn't
gums
it?
And it's so nice. And I literally just took a witchy and I went up there and I just... took the day.
Just needed to just get your witch on and
And then after I recharged, I then just, like, you know,
you could go about the rest of your
I ended up actually treating myself further. I decided to do I did some Devonshire tea.
Oh, lovely. I love it.
Because it's, like, up there in the Daniels, they're known for their Devonshire tea. And because it was during the week, no one was up there.
I was going to say, there'd be no one there. It'd be perfect time.
Oh, so good. So I was just sitting there, just me on my lonesome. And for those that don't know what Devonshire tea is, it's basically you get two scones, or as you call it in America, scones. Two scones, and you usually halve them and then you put your jam and then cream, or you guys would call it jelly, but no, this is more a jam because it's actually got chunks in it. So
I've never really known what the difference between,
so they when we say
the same thing.
We say jam, they say jelly, but jelly means it's like there's no fruit, it's the jelly.
Oh, it's
whereas
literally
jam
just the
jelly. Is like a conserve with, like, chunks in it.
Yeah, we have the bits in there.
Yeah.
The
so, okay, random question, as much as this is off topic.
Oh, we love to have tea, it's all good.
Do you do jam first or do you do cream first?
I was hoping you weren't going to ask me this because you know what I actually have on my scones?
Oh, what?
Vegemite.
Oh, my God. Vegemite on scones.
I do.
You are weird.
But if I'm out, I do jam first. Then.
Yeah, jam first. See, my husband, he likes to put cream first, and then he just and then he tries to put the jam.
I'm
like,
you can't
have to put the jam, spread it, and then you put the dollop.
Yeah, that's right. You just, like, kind of
just
chuck it on
a prop on top, and then
you can't chuck jam.
It doesn't work.
No.
But so the place that we go to, I can't even remember the name of the place now, but it's like a particular one up in Sassafras. I think it's is it Fortuna's or Fortunes or something like that. I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, it's like they have, like, wedding receptions and stuff there. So we go to that one. And the reason I go there is because it's got this nice big bay window. And there's always, like, vines hanging down. And it just looks, like, lush and green. And you're looking out into the rainforest and, like, you know, all
see,
that. And also...
like my every cell in my body just kind of instantly goes...
So hurry up and jump on a plane and come over.
I need to come and visit. I don't even know if I'm allowed. Am I allowed to yet? I'm not even sure anymore with these stupid restrictions and stuff.
Well, I know we're letting people in.
Oh yeah. See, I think you like us. You'll let us in.
Yeah. It's just you guys don't like us.
Oh no. I don't know. We were the icky ones for a little while there.
Oh well, I was it real though? Anyway, moving along.
No.
The best part of this place that we go to is that they make their own jam from scratch, and it's like jam. I don't even know what's in it, and I've asked them, they won't tell me.
No.
But they do sell it by the jar, so of course I always buy a jar and bring it home. Oh, it's just
so good. Oh. My mum makes jam now. She makes strawberry jam. What was the one she made? Berry jam, and it was just literally like different things she had left over and stuff. Oh, it was like the best jam ever.
Because it's berry season right now.
Yeah.
Because I think I even sent you photos
of
me from last weekend. What?
Oh, yes, mama. Get listening. Go make some jam. Oh. Like, make me some jam.
Hi, Karen. Okay, we've digressed. Massive tangent.
We have. Big tangent. Let's kind of bring it in, because like the witchy kind of had a little bit to do with what we're talking about today.
So because 2020, let's be honest, let's call it what it is. 2020 was a clusterfuck of a year.
Yeah, it really has been.
It was literally a clusterfuck. For those that like tarot, it was literally, we got our tower on.
Yeah, it was a collective tower moment.
Yeah, it was life as we know it has come crumbling down. The foundations that we built society on were shit at the best of times. Like, literally, if you think about it, let's just do a bit of a recap of the major events of 2020. We had Black Lives Matter. We had, the American election is always a bit of a clusterfuck. But anyway, there was the whole thing right up to the election. We've also had...
We started the year here in Australia anyway with the biggest bushfires. The whole of Australia was on fire.
You know, I forgot about that.
I know. After we had the whole COVID thing, it just kind of disappeared. But like literally nearly the whole of Australia was on fire.
Yeah, we were on fire for like 3 months solid or something. Like
animal life and all of
we almost lost all of our koalas.
They're
now on the extinct
like on the very
edge of they were in danger, but now they're on the precipice,
like the high end of it.
Much so that I actually I adopted some koalas this year.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, and it was cute because like the way I did it through World Wildlife Fund, and so like the way they do it, obviously they always do a drive every year around tax time anyway, but because like I've done it in the past, but this year I decided to give more. So it's like that whole thing of you do it and then you can claim it back and blah blah blah, but it was still I was in a position to give and I wanted to give. So I donated through World Wildlife Fund, and they actually sent me a cute little koala teddy and a little adoption certificate.
Oh, that's so cool.
And it came with a little photo of some random koala, which I'm sure everyone gets the same photo, but whatever.
That's okay.
It
doesn't matter.
It was just the point.
It's very to represent. Sweet. Yeah, that's right. That's very beautiful. I love that.
But there's also like, obviously you don't have to go to the big WWFs. There were also a lot of other institutions. Especially in SA.
Yeah, we had heaps.
You had them all on that island. What's the island called?
Oh, Kangaroo Island.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like literally nearly the whole of the island burnt.
Yeah.
There's just nowhere to go. Like there's nowhere to be and you can't get them off. There's nothing to do. So
yeah. So 2020, basically, as you can see...
Then we had the whole COVID thing.
There's the bushfires, there was COVID, there was all the BLM movements and everything else, the other political movements that happened this year. I can't even think of them. There were so many of them.
I was going to say, there was a few.
I felt like every 5 minutes we were rallying about something.
Yeah.
And that's not to diminish from the...
No, it was just literally that I think it's just because this year was such, like we're saying, that tower moment where those foundations are really breaking, that we're starting to realize the things that aren't working. And so people are rising up about different things and whatever. So,
and it's funny because talking here in Australia, a lot of people said, oh, BLM didn't affect us. I'm like, systemic racism happens in our country too.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't think that just because we're an island on the other side of the world that it doesn't affect us, because it happens in our country just as much. And what I've noticed, even in the witchy community, is that people are actually starting to be more inclusive across the board.
Yes.
So I know that, shout out to the admins for the Australian Witchcraft Group. I know I've seen mixed reviews. Some people are not happy with the way that they've handled things, but I actually applaud them because it's what prompted me to stop saying, hey guys, on the podcast, because not all our listeners are guys.
Yep.
I can't keep using these gender normative kind of.
Yep. We need to be a little bit more fluid and a bit in changing your language. And there's somebody who, like, you don't realize just how much of our language actually is very
binary.
Much so.
And you think that me being part of the LGBTIQ plus community, I feel like we need to just adopt the whole alphabet by now. But
yeah,
anyway,
I was going to say, I must admit.
I think it's technically LGBTIQ2AS plus or something.
Yeah, I was going to say there's two
SA plus. I don't know.
It's not that I diminish what it is. It's just I cannot remember all the letters.
If you just say plus at the end, it just means and everyone else.
That's true.
Okay. Yes. So, like, even as a member of the LGBTIQ plus community, I didn't realize how binary I was speaking, and I realized I was doing that at the gym when I addressed my class. Yeah. I was doing it on the podcast. I was doing it whenever I post on Facebook. I would say, "Hey guys, hey guys, hey guys," because for me, guys doesn't mean males or men.
No,
it was
just
general.
It's such a term that's really ingrained in just as a hello, just to mean everybody, to mean people.
But yeah, so it's just, that's what I mean. It's the Tower moment has affected everything.
Yeah, literally
it's social,
everything.
Geopolitical, environmental, like this year has been fucking
huge.
Medical.
Yeah, I was gonna say all the natural disasters and things that have happened as well. I know there's been earthquakes and all sorts happening.
There was fires up and down, California and British Columbia and stuff.
Yeah.
They had massive bushfires. Oh,
like
the Amazon.
Weather.
The Amazon burnt down.
Oh my gosh. Like, there's so many.
Which is
things.
Like a third of our forest in the world is in the Amazon or something like that. I don't know the statistics. Don't fact check me.
No.
But I know it's a huge portion of our rainforest.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, literally 2020 has been a clusterfuck. And it's funny. Think of the year. It's 2020. What do you associate
vision.
With the number 2020? Exactly.
2020 vision. We're seeing clearly.
Yeah, we're seeing clearly now the shitty foundations that society has been built on.
That's right.
And we're starting to question everything, which I think it's about fucking time.
Yeah, I agree.
Personally.
I completely agree. And I mean, isn't that kind of like where we started with this on a much different level, is that we just wanted information and people to hear different things, question different things, find out about different paths, find out about different things like that, whereas our society has been very much non-questioning or non excuse me, like just staying with the norm.
So all of this, like, because we're obviously not a politically aligned podcast or anything, the only reason why we're bringing up these matters is because we're using this as a point to something to point out that 2020 has been a massive year for everyone.
Yeah, like, there's not anybody that's not affected by it in some way or form.
Some way or form, exactly. Yeah. So, and I'm not here to say whether I agree with things that have gone on or the way it was handled or anything like that. It's not about that. We're not making an opinion on the matter. We're just saying that it's been huge. So we thought that it might be good to do, because I do this every year, and I know Vicky does this every year. Like, we usually
do.
Everyone knows New Year's is all about resolutions. It's about setting goals. Yeah. It's about setting intentions, all that kind of stuff. But it's important before you do all the warm and fuzzy and the positive stuff.
Yeah.
You need to do all the shit that you don't want to deal with.
Yeah, that's it. Because if you want to have those really good things and you really want them to actually, like, to follow through with them and to actually find that change, you have to get rid of that shit first.
Yeah, get rid of
it. My little thing, pull the weeds to plant the seeds.
Exactly.
But you have to. You have to, like, if you think about it like a garden, you've got to pull out all those weeds first, clear it all out, then you can start planting all the good stuff and start growing all the good stuff. So you have to go to the hard things. And that's why we wanted to mention that we know that it has been really hard for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to start to reflect on that and
so we've obviously talked about the macrocosm, which is the world, but let's bring it to the microcosm. So Vicky, what's your reflections on 2020? What's your main reflection points?
So for me, on the surface level, like everybody else, it looks like, holy shit, it's been a crap year. Like, you could literally just, I know that there's a lot of things that go around where you could just, like, write off this year, start afresh. But if you actually, if for me personally, if I start to go a little bit deeper and I look below that surface a little bit, yes, it's been a really, really tough year. Like, literally my whole life has been changed. Our whole way of life has changed. It's all completely different. But it's actually been, now I don't want people to start throwing things at me. But it's actually been a really good year for me in the fact that I've had really massive growth. Like, it has forced me to deal with things, and I think I've found the most growth this year and moving more towards, without sounding too fluffy or whatever, it's more moving more towards that soul purpose and coming back to who I truly am, I guess. Like, so many things, and I've had so many incredible I've had incredible people come into my life this year that, like, it feels like I've known forever, which you are one of those people.
Stop it.
But it has, like, you can easily just write this year off as like a crap year if you look at it from it, but it's really been such, and there's been so many good things. Like, for me personally, like, we've started this podcast, we've for me, I've also back teaching yoga again, we're moving in a much better way in our personal life and in my family life and things like that. But I think the underlying thing for me this year is that it's just been massive growth, and like, it really has taken the foundations out from underneath us, and I've had to start to build all of that again. And I'm a big person for avoiding things. I'm a bit of an avoider.
That's not normal for a Gemini at all.
No, not at all. So then 2020 comes in and goes, shit, you're going to have to deal with this shit now. And I have, and I'm like, I'm not saying I'm done. Like, it's not all done and it's all rosy, but this has been the biggest year for growth for me personally, I would say. And so I would actually say that this has actually been a really good year.
Yeah.
It's actually been a really good year for me. Tough, but a really good year.
It's awesome.
How about you?
So I'm annoyed that you didn't mention one of the things that you did this year.
Oh my God. Yes. That was the whole catalyst for everything. I know.
That's fine. We'll just
my
dust that one under the rug.
As well.
I'm being facetious, guys. Because no, that's how Vicky and I met, is that she was
it
actually
is. That was the whole catalyst.
For tarot, and then it just...
It did, and even that. That was the other thing that I didn't mention, though, but like, it's also catapulted this year, has really catapulted my my personal practice, like my witch practice as well. Yeah. Like, I know I've spoken about it a little bit before, but I did have a long time where I was away from it for a little while, where I just really stepped away. I guess that dark night of the soul. And this year, especially catapulted from the tarot course that I did in the middle of the year, and then everything since, it has really also thrown me back into my practice.
That's good. That's better. I'm being a shit. Do you know what? I just realized I'm loving that we're color coordinated today. You've got your purple hair, my purple t-shirt. Like,
we're
almost doing a bit of a matchy matchy little thing.
Matchy matchy today.
Yeah.
I like that.
If you don't know what we're talking about, go to YouTube.
Yeah, have a look at YouTube.
So don't forget to click like.
I was about to say subscribe.
Click subscribe. Click the little bell so you get notified every time we post a video, because we actually do them simultaneously. So we post the videos and the episodes at the same time.
So you can do both.
Why not both?
Why not both?
Anyway, so for me, 2020, again, I don't want to be that. Don't start throwing shit at me, but like, 2020 has probably been my best year yet.
Yeah, I would actually say that too.
Because as a result of 2020, like, I left corporate world at the end of 2019, thinking 2020 is going to be my best year. I'm going to go into business. I'm going to be successful, like, multi-million dollar coach. You know, you had this massive dream.
Yep.
And then all the shit that happened in 2020 kind of
happened.
Rain on that parade.
Yeah.
But what it actually made me do is, like, because obviously I teach in gyms, I teach fitness classes and dance classes and stuff like that. I took all my business online.
Yeah.
So it taught me to be more agile. I started teaching tarot at the start of this year, and it made me take that online, which then meant that I could reach people.
Yes,
if I didn't take my first course online, because originally I was just in Melbourne, we would never have met.
No.
And now I'm actually in the process of writing my second and third course for my graduates, because they're all begging me for more.
Yes.
So I'm in the process of writing the course content so I can do even more. So that's, again, making me walk my talk, because I've been reading tarot cards for years, but never actually took that next step because I was always too scared.
Yeah, that's it.
Although my husband says, oh, those that can't do, teach.
No.
Whatever.
No.
No. Anyway, so there's on that side, so spiritually, like, I'm walking my talk more and more because of this podcast as well.
Yeah.
And as a result of this podcast, I've made some amazing friends in the witch community that I never would have thought, because I've been solitary my whole life. I didn't realize how much I needed a virtual coven.
Yeah.
Until this happened. And now all of a sudden I have this extension of myself that I didn't even realize I was missing because I didn't know that I was missing it. So there's that side of things. What else has been happening? Oh, I mean, but just alone in soft skills. Like I've done so much education during COVID, learning languages, learning new fitness programs, studying PT, learning more about tarot, learning more about my craft, enrolling into an apprenticeship with Christopher Penchak, which I've wanted to do for the last like 17 or so years.
Yeah, but you did it. And that's it. You finally did it.
Exactly. And so it's like, it's been pretty freaking massive, but I recognized early on that the only reason why I was able to set myself up for that success is because I started doing all this inner cleansing work last year.
Inner work.
I started purging a lot of my inner demons and all of that kind of shit last year to prepare for this epic year that then poo-pooed in my face. But I like this, like I joke about it, but like I said to my husband, like we're both qualified life coaches that have done the inner work and released all the shit. It makes me wonder how the fuck did regular people without the training cope?
Do this.
How did they cope with it all? Or did they even cope?
Or did. I was going to say, I don't think a lot of people did. And I mean, I haven't necessarily been trained, but I guess I've had some of the counseling and things like that, which is, has helped. But I don't know what it was. It was just something about like whether it just put that mirror up a little bit that you just you couldn't hide from it anymore. So like, not like where I hadn't really done the work last year. Well, I kind of thought I'd done the work, but I really just dashed on the surface a little bit. And then, but it was just like I put that mirror on it and you just had to. And one of the big things for me also was like asking for help, which is something I don't ever do. So actually going somewhere and doing something and working through stuff and doing all that deep inner work. So,
so now this episode is not just about us doing a whole lot of self-righteous preaching about look how fabulous we are.
We're just doing wonderfully things.
We're so amazing. All of you suck, but we had an amazing 2020. No, it's not that.
No, and that's the thing though, because it was tough. Like it was tough stuff as well. Like it was huge shifts and huge amazing growth, but it was hard work.
Oh, and that's the thing is like, because I always find that when we all had that tower moment where literally everything was broken down, everything. Yeah. Like my relationship was on the brinks at one stage because we were locked down together. Financially, we were worried we were going to lose our house because we both lost our jobs at the same time because of COVID. So Chris was unemployed for 4 months of the year and I was like trying to find a way of creating income, which was out of necessity, but I'm glad it happened because now I'm more agile in my business.
That's
So, and, but it, sometimes it takes that tower moment or that... if you know the tarot cards, like I often think of the fives. So it's that internal battle. If we're thinking of five of wands, it's that also the five of swords, like that kind of that external battle with like of the
constant
outside of self, like, you know, confusion in as to what you want to do, like, you know, fighting, choosing the right battles to fight for, all that kind of stuff. You could have your five of pentacles moment where you're literally in financial disarray.
You're just done.
You've got nothing left. Or your five of cups moment where you're literally grieving the life that you had.
Yeah. And I would like, think, you know what? I think I've actually done all of those.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's been all of those things.
Yeah. And probably multiple times.
Yeah. That's
this is
right.
why I say tarot is life.
It is. It is.
It is. But then when we came out of that, like obviously, we wanted to, Vicky and I said we wanted to come together and come up with some practical things that you guys can do to help purge some of those. Yep. Resentful, suppressed or repressed emotions that you've held about 2020, just to get rid of them. Let's not take them into
Let's leave them. Let's take the lessons. Let's take the lessons this time and not bring it with us. Let's learn the lessons and move on.
Yeah, exactly. So, that being said, I think it's important, first of all, now when doing any form of shadow work or inner work, I think the first thing you need to do is practice what's called radical self-acceptance. Which means it's pointless doing any of the inner work and the purging and the whatever if you're not going to be 100% truthful and honest with yourself.
Yeah.
Because, like, you're literally only lying to yourself.
Yeah, that's it. You're not going to get anywhere with it. And then, and I think that's a lot of times, especially, like, at this time of the year where we do, like, New Year's resolutions and things like that. And I don't like to say it, but I would say that, like, 75% of New Year's resolutions don't follow
it's
through.
Actually more than that.
I was gonna say I think it's probably more like 9
out of 10. I've looked into the statistics and it's actually like So this is the thing, working in a gym, I see it every year. Everyone signs up for gym memberships in January because they're like, I'm going to make this class, I'm going to like lose, I'm going to lose weight and I'm going to be fit as fabulous, da 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 da. And as soon as January is over, February,
phew, you get back
numbers
to
numbers drop. And then you get your core, your original people. So January is always an amazing time of year because I'm like, party.
That's right.
But yeah, then everyone drops off because resolutions don't stick. And the reason why they don't stick is because I believe anyway, it's you're not being truthful with yourself. You're not setting yourself up for the success.
Yeah, that's right. Because I mean, like, we've all got those little limiting little things in there that stay under the surface. And if we don't dig into those, they're going to keep self-sabotage. We're going to just kind of keep self-sabotaging.
Oh, yeah. Self-sabotage is huge. Especially if you're on a weight loss thing. Like, if you want to set yourself up for success in weight loss, stop fucking buying chocolate. Just don't buy it. It's simple.
What we need to address, though, is what's the emotional need behind that? Yes. What is not being met? Because we all know, this is the thing, like, especially with like health and things like that, we all know what's good for us. We all know those good things that we do. So why aren't we doing it? So that's where you have to then reel it back to go, what is that emotional need that's not getting met? Getting met by buying that chocolate?
You know, from a coaching perspective, we call that secondary gain. It's where by not doing it, I have more to gain than by doing it.
Yes.
And that will be different for different people.
Yeah.
So it's usually nourishing some part of yourself that wants to be nourished that's not being fully expressed. So I found that by focusing on all that inner stuff during COVID, like without even thinking about it, I'm losing weight, I'm toning up. And these are things that I've been struggling with for years because like now I'm actually realizing that it's not that I wanted to eat more, it's that I wasn't nourishing my spirituality, or I wasn't nourishing my creativity, or I wasn't nourishing my home environment, or I wasn't nourishing my life purpose, or like, so once I found that I needed to nourish those aspects of myself, I naturally stopped shoving food down my throat just to self-soothe.
Yeah, and that's what it is, and that's the thing, and these are the things that we're kind of asking you to get to. And it's not a quick and easy like sit down once we've just listened to the podcast, sit down and do it. This is something to take time, which is why we wanted to do it a little bit earlier as well, so you can prepare yourself for it, but take the time to really do this deeper dive sort of stuff and start to see what are those things that aren't being met and what are the underlying stuff, and let's 100%. Get rid of them.
Yes, but once and for all. So I'm going to focus on the reflective side of how you can get to that, because I know, Vicky, it's more up your alley to do the whole how to get rid of it side.
I do. I like to just get rid of it.
Yeah. So basically the intention for this podcast is this. We want to plant the seeds and get you on the roller coaster ride that is the inner work. Yep. And then next week when we do our next episode, that's all going to be about how to purge it all on New Year's Eve, because it's going to be a full moon.
Yes.
So it's going to be a full moon on New Year's Eve.
It is.
It's about how to purge it all. So then on the full moon, we can do all our intention and goal setting so that 2021 is going to be an amazing epic year for everybody who listens to this podcast.
Correct.
And not just you, but everyone who you come into contact with.
See, that's the thing. And that's the biggest thing as well that I don't think we often realize. Like by ourselves doing our own inner work, we don't have to go around and preach it to everybody else. It's more like those little tiny little ripples, and then all of a sudden people that are around you start to feel a little bit better or may want to do something, and so like it's this awesome ripple effect that
there's a word
going.
For that too.
What is that?
It's called power of proximity.
Look at you coming up with
all the coachy terms.
I'm just like ripples.
but it is a ripple effect.
And that's one of the things I've always said, is like just to focus on what you can do and control within your own life, and then the bigger picture will just start to
the power of proximity.
That's that as within as without.
The easiest way to explain power of proximity is like I always say that you are the average of the five people closest to you. So here we go. First reflective piece.
Okay.
How about a piece of paper?
Grab some paper and a pen. I've always got one. So
and Vicky, we're going to do this with you guys. So it's not just us talking. We're doing this too. So now I want you to write down. Don't overthink it. Just volume it to
Do you know who you're talking to?
Yes. But don't overthink it. So I want you to just think of the first thing that comes to your mind. So I want you to write down the five people that you spend most of your time with. Five people that you spend most of your time with. It doesn't have to be physically, but like engaging with. I got the first three really quickly, and I'm stuck on 4 and 5.
I was going to say, I got the first four really quickly, and my fifth, yeah, and then fifth took a little bit longer.
Oh, actually, I just had one come to mind. And it's, I don't want it to be like from January. I'm talking about now. Right now, the five people that you're spending most of your time with.
Yeah. So even if you're listening to this on your way home or something like that, just have a think in your mind as well.
Yeah.
Just think.
Exactly. Yeah.
Think of the people.
Pick up there. Oh, fuck. Number five is failing me right now. Doesn't matter. I'll come back.
That's okay. We can come back to it.
I don't want to force it.
And that's the beauty of it.
Too much time. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now they say that you are the average of the five people that you spend most of your time with. So if you have a look at those people, and think of all the traits that they all have, both positive and negative.
Yep.
Think of all the traits that they exude. And are they pulling your average up or down?
Ooh, that's a good question, isn't it?
So you don't have to necessarily... And by the way, do not tell them whether they're pulling your average up or down.
This is a very personal this is a, list.
And do not write it down on your piece of paper. But
yes.
So you write down the five people. Just have a think about it. Do you believe... And be honest with yourself. Are they helping lift your average or are they pulling your average down? Mm. Because that's the power of proximity, that you are who you hang with.
Yeah.
Become the average of the five people closest to you. So all of these things. And you can follow any Kerwin Ray, Tony Robbins, like they all talk about this exact thing.
Yeah.
Gary Vee, like all of them will talk about this power of proximity. So if you just think about the people that are around you, and as we change and evolve, so do our social circles.
Yeah.
So do the people we start hanging around with. So do the people that we start spending more time with. Like, yeah. I know 2020 was a year of purging friendships.
Yeah, for me, I was going to say that it's sort of been like as if a little veil was lifted a little bit.
You
come into that kind of 2020 vision of I suddenly started to see people and things for what they truly were. And I start to look, how did I ever think that
you were a good fit with me? Like,
yeah, like how did this? It's like, oh, hang on. No, I'm not doing this anymore. So yeah.
And by the way, guys, we're not judging you in any way, shape or form about the friendships that you keep or the people that you hang with or anything like that. And you also, you should not judge yourself for that, because everyone in your life, there's that poem. I don't know it off the top of my head, but it's that whole thing about people come into your life for a reason, a season, yes, or a lifetime.
Yeah.
And they all have their own like need in your life at that time. So.
And that's been a really big lesson as well, to learn that, I think, as well.
The act of
letting go, and to be able to sit back and be that observer a little bit and to see, okay, that's all right. We don't have to be forever, but you did teach me something and that's wonderful. So I wish you well.
So we are going to get onto an activity later that Vicky's going to go over, which is cord cutting.
Yes.
But one of the other things I wanted to do with this, now that you have a list of the people that you are spending most of your time with,
yep,
I would now like you to think of or write down, whichever one you're doing, if you're driving, just think of them.
Yep.
Who is someone that you have kept in your life, but that gets under your skin? We all have that one person.
Yes.
That gets under our skin. And every time we think of them, we almost have to like swallow deeply before we, or just breathe before we talk about them. Yeah. And for whatever reason, we've kept them in our life. Now, there's an exercise that I've got, which is called recognizing the mirror. So with this one, if you've got a pen and paper, it's easier. But if you don't, just think about what are their positive attributes, the things that you like about them. So think of all the traits that that person has that you like about them, and give yourself a moment. So if you're listening to this podcast, like you can
just
always push pause, do the exercise, and then unpause when you're ready. Now I want you to think about all the negative aspects of them, the things that annoy you about them, because they're going to have positives, they're going to have negatives. So it's going to be, and I don't mean to use positive and negative in that context, but it is, like it's a positive
term. It's just the easiest way to describe
it. Or you could say their strengths and their weaknesses or whatever, however you want to frame it. But anyway, so now feel free to pause if you need to. And now what I want you to do is see if you can relate all of those terms, the positive and the negative, on yourself. So it's called recognizing the mirror, because sometimes certain people will be in our life, and as much as we want to cut them out, they keep coming back. And I believe that it's because everyone that you like attracts like in the universe.
Yeah.
Whatever you put out there is what you're going to attract. So if you're surrounded by a lot of negative people, chances are you're being negative.
Yeah.
If you're surrounded by a lot of positive people, chances are you're being positive.
That's right. That's so right. That's so true.
So it's like the whole thing of like that person, think about all the negative traits they have and all the positive traits they have, and then try to pin them on yourself. Like, for example, I'm not going to name this person just in case they listen to this podcast, but the person that has been triggering me the most this year, one of the things that annoys me is that they can be a little bit controlling. And then I reflect on that. When I'm being my best self, I'm a go with the flow kind of, you know, easygoing. When I'm being my worst self or my anti-self, I'm hyper-controlling. Another thing is that the person that I'm thinking of, they always think they know everything, and they always think they know more than everyone around them. They always have to be the know-it-all. And then when I reply that to myself, I know that there are times when I feel like I have to know everything and that I have to disprove everyone else's opinions. Because when I'm being my anti-self, I'm highly opinionated to the point that I will shut you down and Google fact check you and go, see?
Like, see, here it is.
It's that's that Capricorn rising ultimate clapback, like bitch slap in the face of I'm right, you're wrong.
I'm right, you're wrong. You have to
exactly.
Be right.
So this is another little exercise you can do. It's called recognizing the mirror.
Yeah, it's super powerful. That's a lot to do with like the shadow work and all of that aspect of things. And it's really funny when you start to realize that you kind of go first off, I'm like, I'm not like that. No, not at all.
But
and then all of a sudden you go, oh, I do that. It's like, whoops. Yeah, it does come out.
And it's like, and you can do this with, it doesn't just have to be the person that is, that came to mind in this exercise. You could do this for anyone in your whole life. Yeah. I've actually done this recognizing the mirror in every single person in my immediate circle.
Yeah.
The immediate circle, not extended, just the immediate circle. So like your mum, your siblings, your dad, your co-workers, your partner, your children. You write down all their positive traits for each individual person, all the negative traits for each individual person, and you see if you can recognize the mirror in all of them. Because all of them, everyone in your life is going to be reflecting something of you.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always something there, some kind of quality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One more exercise on this type of, like, I touched on a little bit just now. Yeah. This is a fun one that I got from, now I love this guy to death. His name is, he's a life coach. His name is Mike Bayer. So he's actually the life coach on Dr. Phil. So and he's also Jennifer Lopez's life coach as well.
Oh, there you go.
So my husband bought me this book ages ago because it's J-Lo's life coach. And he's freaking amazing. I follow him on all social medias and everything because he's like just epic. Anyway, so this book called Best Self, like I love it. I've read it a number of times cover to cover. And every time I read it, I do another layer of my inner work. But anyway, so there's an exercise that he does, which is called your best self and your anti-self. And so when you're being your best self, you write down all the positive things, and he's got lists in there that have the traits already listed to start you off, but it's all the positive traits of you when you're being your best self. So I know when I'm being my best self, I'm caring, I'm nurturing, I'm accommodating, I'm trusting, I'm, you know, blah, 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 blah. You sit there and you fluff, you blow smoke up your own ass when you sit there and you write down all the things that you love about yourself. Once you've got that version of your best self, you then give it a name. So you can use your intuition on this one, so you can name them. And then after you've named them, you then give them a persona. So describe them, write them down. Or if you're more artsy, right brain, you could sit there and draw them. And you can use your intuition, ask your guides for help, ask your spirit guides, ask your deities, whoever it might be, or just sit in meditation and contemplation and just allow yourself to draw what you think they look like. Don't judge it, just draw it.
Just draw it.
And then you do the opposite. So when I'm being my worst self, I've already listed, I'm controlling, I'm opinionated, I have to be Mr. Right, I can be pushy, argumentative, like I like to, you know, all of those things. So you list out all that, and yes, it might sound like you're trash talking yourself, but it's radical self-acceptance, radical honesty.
That's right, you've got to be honest.
So put down all the traits of when you're being your worst self or your anti-self, and then you give that a name. And then you also draw a picture of them or write down their qualities and give them a bit of a backstory. What is it about this anti-self that's happened that's resulted in them being this person?
Yeah, that compassion. And that's the big thing. Seeing that, the reason why. Almost. Yeah.
And I actually did this with a client once, and she actually started to refer to herself. So whenever she was having a moment where she was like being charged or negatively charged by someone in her life, she would sit there and I got her to reflect and say, am I being this person or am I being that person? So she gave them names.
Yeah.
And so like, so you could tell yourself, like, I'm being a little bit too best self.
Such and such. Yep.
or no, I'm being a little bit too anti-self. I need to be a bit more best self. Like, you know what I mean? So you just, if you give them a name and a persona,
you can start to then kind of adjust where I need to maybe bring in more of these qualities or
tap into those strengths. Because the anti-self doesn't mean that it's all your worst traits.
No, and it's not, as like you said, it's not to beat yourself up either. It's to look at it through the eyes of compassion and to be aware.
Because there's a time and a place for your anti-self to rear its ugly head.
That's right.
Like, I know that there are times when I do need that control and I do need to be argumentative and I do need to stand up for myself. That's where I bring in my anti-self and I fully emit that into the world. In other words, for me, my best self is Cancer. My anti-self is Capricorn rising.
But both have a beautiful place.
Yeah. Because there are times when I need my Capricorn rising to just clap back and like, no.
Go, no, sorry. I do need to stand up for myself now. Yeah. And...
because my Cancer inside won't. My Cancer inside will literally just...
okay.
I'll just cry over it in the bedroom by myself, listening to Celine Dion. I'll just douse myself in lavender oil and like my heart will go on. And yeah, it just cry fest with Celine Dion blaring. That's how Cancer would deal with it. Whereas Capricorn would be like, no.
Get your shit up. No, we're not doing this.
Anyway, so that's a couple of little exercises for you guys. So let me know in the comments if you liked those.
Yeah.
And if you want us to kind of randomly throw things like this into the sessions. Mm. So, okay, so we've done some of the inner reflective stuff.
Yes.
Let's now talk about, so Vicky, I'm going to pass over to you if I may.
Yes.
What are some of the things we can do specifically to the examples we've given about recognizing these sides and all of that? What can we do with that once we know, or once we've recognized
it? So once we know, this is where we can, I guess, really tap in. I think the biggest thing here now is really good for this whole thing is to really tap into the meditation side of things and that being able to self-reflect and come to that point. But we, as witches, we want to get rid of this stuff now. We've done the work. We've found whatever it is that we're needing to move on from. So cleansing. I guess that's the first easy one is cleansing. So one thing, as Darren is doing now, which is something that I love to do.
Spray it in my eye.
Oh, no, don't do that, though, is to have a nice spritz. So if you've got a cleansing spray or a cleansing incense or however you like to cleanse, whether it's with feathers and things like that, you can start to be thinking about these things, whatever it is that you've come to that you're wanting to release. So start to think about them, and then we can move through that cleansing kind of ritual, whether that's like I said, like walking through the smoke of the incense, physically spritzing, all of those kind of things. So there's lots of different plants and herbs and things like that you can use if you want to do any of those kind of things. So there's sage, rosemary, juniper berries, all sorts of stuff. So have a look. We go back to our herb episode and things like that as well, because we mentioned some in there too. So cleansing is a good one. That's always a nice one to start with. So, and another way that this is one thing that I do, my family and I always do on New Year's Eve as well, is that we actually just physically cleanse ourselves. So we actually go through, smudge our whole selves, so that we're kind of cleansing our area, cleansing ourselves and moving forward. So then from that also, there's a couple of other things you can do. I also like to do it as a breathing exercise as well. So breathing is a really good tool that I use with that as well. So
the best thing is breathing is free.
It's free. You don't need any props. You don't need anything. You just need you. So breathing is one great way that you can do it as well. So as you're doing it, you're thinking about these things perhaps that you're wanting to get rid of. So we're really starting to like in a meditative state, get into those, start thinking of them and really start to breathe in deeply. And as you're breathing in that fresh air, that fresh oxygen, that fresh prana or life force. But then when you're breathing out, and I want you to really like you're really breathing it out. Sorry, that was actually probably really loud. I forgot we've got like the microphones. Sorry if I just deafened everybody. I just blew you away. But really breathe out and imagine that you, or visualize that you're breathing these things out. And if it's a list that you need to list things out or whatever it is, however's best for you, keep that really rhythmic breath happening and really almost a forceful exhale. So that's a really simple, easy one kind of thing to do, but it can be really, really super powerful. Like I said, as you're really thinking about those qualities that you're wanting to release and get them out, and that really forceful breath. And you might find that your breath's kind of, you're a bit at the beginning, and then by the end of it, you're like really
give it some guts,
blowing it out. Yeah,
just really it. Is.
Yeah, blowing it out. It's all gone. So that's another way to do it.
I was just going to say, also, don't forget, guys, if you're not wordy, like you're not a Gemini or an Aquarius or a Libra, who isn't good at lists.
Imagine.
You can also do, doing inner work through like meditations or journeying or whatnot, or you could do automatic writing or automatic drawing, like where you just kind of get some colored pencils or pastels or whatever and just draw your emotions, draw your feelings, draw all the angst, like get lots of red and some black in there and, you know, draw your demons. Like that's another way to channel that.
Channeling it out. Another really great way, and it's something that I do as well, and this you'll be so proud of me because this is not a very Gemini writing thinking thing, is I will either get a drum or a bell or something sound related, and I will, or I'll put on some really I often listen to like some really Norse music that's really got that really big kind of grit to it, and then I kind of end up stomping around and moving around and kind of almost dancing, and you kind of
dancing.
I know it's not really like, if anybody saw me, it'd be like, no, that's really not, that's just somebody kind of flailing around a little bit. But
I need to see this kid. I'm gonna get Taylor to film it.
Yeah, me too. You'll see, I've done it many times, especially if I've been angry and I know I'm being a little bit irrational about this anger, but I can't get it out. I will come out, I have a drum, I will be drumming and I'll crank the music up and I'll be dancing around and drumming and just getting it out. Because that's the biggest thing, is that we hold on to so much stuff. We just need to get it out. So whether for you that is writing, that's dancing, that's moving, that's even just visualizing or seeing it or feeling it or hearing it, whatever it is, whatever helps you to get it out there and move it. So that's another couple of good ones. But then another nice physical one that I really love, because it's, and I know you love this one too, to do this one, is because you're actually in action of doing something, is a burning ceremony.
Yes. Yes, I love burning things, and I'm not a pyromaniac, but
no. because as we all know, with the elements, like fire is the ultimate sort of transmuter, transformation. It's all about all of those things. So this is where you can be writing, or another way you can do it is to get a stick or a something that you want to burn, that you can burn.
A stick or a something.
Sticker or something. I was trying to think of what else you might have been finding, but just go find a stick. It's fine. Toothpick is great. Mm-hmm. And just holding on to it. And then in that, you're putting into, whether you're talking it, you're speaking it, you're thinking about it, all those things that you're wanting to get rid of. I personally do, because I'm a writer, I like to write whatever they are. And you don't have to write one big long list and send it. You can do lots of little ones, because I'll tell you, that can be really satisfying to throw lots of them in there. And when you're burning it, you put it into the fire and you're releasing it from yourself and releasing it from whatever it needs to be transmuted a little bit. So yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, I like a bit of a burning thing. I like to burn.
Yeah, it's something that actually just came to mind when you were saying all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And some people may be thinking it as well. Like, some of you may be thinking, but what's all this got to do with witchcraft? Now,
yes, that is true.
One of the main things, like with witchcraft, like obviously anytime you do any form of, especially if you're someone who likes to do spell work, like your emotional center and your like conscience and your, like all the things you're harboring inside of you are going to impact your spell work. 100%. If you're holding on to anger, if you're holding on to resentment, if you're holding on to any form of, like, I won't say depression, because I'm not talking about, when I talk about depression, I don't mean clinical diagnosed depression. I'm talking about like a depressive state. Yeah. If you're holding on to any of that, when you do your spell work, that's absolutely 100% going to be affecting your outcome.
Yeah, completely. That's the whole kind of overarching, I guess, reaction of what that magic is going to do. It's going to have that little bit of to this little bit of it too yet. That's what it's going to have. And so it's really important. And I mean, all of these things I'm saying is not necessarily particularly ritual based or whatever, but you can make them. I'm just doing it as a very general kind of
sense.
So we can, but often I will do that as it can be a part of a ritual. I can be talking to a deity, I can be talking to a land spirit, I can be calling on the energies of fire to help transform. You don't even have to have a physical fire, because actually, please do, with this time of the year, people in Australia, I do know we need to be very careful with fire, so make sure you have a, so if you are doing a bit of a burning thing, make sure you have a very safe space to do that in, and you can just do it with a candle or something. But another really great one is even to imagine that fire within, like to that flame within you, and to burn away all of those things. And you can add, like, I'll add herbs to it, add a bit of spell work to it. So make it your own. Find the things that resonate with you, and then make it your own. These are just some ideas of different kinds of things that you can do.
100%. So
I did have one more.
Oh, you had another one?
Only one more. Yes. So this is a big one with all of this type of work, and how we were saying about people that are in our lives and things like that. So cord cutting is probably something that's a big thing now. Yeah.
I do it regularly.
Yeah. So there's lots of different ways you can do it. But one thing I do want to just say, which is something that's been illuminated to me this year, that's what I've learned a little bit. It's very easy for us to go, okay, I need to cut a cord with that person. They're toxic, whatever. And I'm not saying this is every situation, because every situation is completely different. And some people, there is a real need for that. But what we also need to be doing when we're cutting those cords is to realize that we are responsible for our own energy, and we are responsible for how we allow people in and things like that. So we do need to have a look at where we may have needed to put up a boundary, or that we needed to be responsible for our own energy, and look at that relationship and see if in any way that you're kind of not contributing to it. And I'm not saying that in a like a shaming kind of way, but just look at where, again, that self-responsibility for our own energy before we, you can 100%. Still cut, definitely still cut all those ties, but then just look so that we can learn those lessons, I guess, for want of a better word, from those experiences.
100%. And the other thing that we could just adding on what you've already said is that like when we're doing things like burning ceremonies or anything like that, or cord cutting or whatever, one of the things that I like to do is there's various types of journaling that you can do.
Yeah.
So obviously we've talked about it on our Magical Daily Practices episode that we aired on Thanksgiving week. Hang on, let me just quickly check episode number 17.
17,
yeah. And the Herbology one, by the way, was episode 16. So there's obviously that you can do. Meditation was
seven?
Episode 7. Yes, you are correct.
Yep.
You are correct. So episode 7. So there's obviously those types of things that you can do. But then when we're doing journaling, there's obviously different ways that you can journal. Because not everyone is a... Like some people get in their head a little bit when they have to journal.
Yep, that's me.
First and foremost with journaling is it's only meant for your eyes. And sometimes it's not even meant for your eyes. Meaning I never read my journal.
Yeah, it's just a brain dump kind of
just
thing.
Just take it all and just dump it on the page. Yep. However it lands, it lands it. No one needs to read it. It doesn't need to make sense. It doesn't even have to be in English. Like gibberish. As long as your brain knows that what I'm writing, the scribble, is what I'm thinking about at the time. Like I've seen someone who their version of journaling is that you just squiggle on a page.
Yep.
And they're just actively thinking about it, and they're saying that as I'm doing this, it's just me getting all that information out.
It's kind of a version of, I guess, like sigil or symbol kind of thing that is representative of whatever it is you're trying to get rid of.
Yeah, exactly. So like you can obviously do automatic writing, which is where you just literally, you're not making sentences, you're just writing whatever words come to your head. And with automatic writing, I always say do 3 passes. That's just how I've always done it. So you write until you can't write anymore. So you just let the pen, when the pen comes to a thing, I stop, I breathe in, and I ask my inner self, is there anything else I need to purge or release during this automatic writing session? And then you keep going again.
Yeah.
And then eventually you run out of steam, and then I ask myself, is there anything else I need to purge for this automatic writing session? And then you go for a third pass, and then by that point it's like my brain is mush. It's all out.
It's done. It's empty.
There's nothing else to write. Other things you could do if you're wanting a more structured way of doing it. So there's, you could do a, you could write a letter to your past self.
Yep.
So, and how you write that letter is up to you. So it might be a letter of showing compassion to the person that you were before.
Yep.
Or the person that you recognize that you were being a certain way during a certain situation during 2020, whatever it may have been, how you handled life. You could write a letter to a trusted friend. So if you don't know, if you find writing to yourself is too confronting,
kind of it, yeah.
Just think of someone that you trust. You're never going to give the letter to them.
Yeah, it's just.
But you're writing them a letter. And depending on if this person's wronged you, you might be writing them a letter to apologize or to show compassion or whatever, or to make amends. And then that might be the thing that you burn or whatnot. Or you could write a letter to a deity. Yeah. I know my patron deity that I love is Kuan Yin. She's the goddess of compassion and mercy. So I love her so much because I believe that forgiveness is a forever thing. Like I'm always striving to like, I think I've said it on this podcast before where I talk about like, to me, knowledge leads to understanding, understanding leads to tolerance, tolerance leads to acceptance, acceptance leads to unconditional love.
Yeah.
So that whole journey through all of those things, which is why I love Kuan Yin so much. So writing a letter to Kuan Yin, I've done that before, basically seeking her guidance of how to be a bit more compassionate to myself or to others or whatever it may be, or to show mercy to me as an individual. And then after I've written the letter, I've then gone into a meditative state where I've meditated on an image of her, and I've just opened myself up to allowing what information to come in. And I'm telling you guys, it's a 99.9% success rate in getting a message from her.
Yeah. Yep.
The only times I didn't is when I wasn't listening hard enough.
Yeah, I was going to say, usually there was always.
It was right there. I just didn't even notice.
Yeah, that's right.
And then, okay, so then bring a little bit more of a witchy element as well. I've prepared some tarot cards for you all. So, because one of the things that I like to do is to sometimes use an oracle card or a tarot card or some kind of image to start off the journaling or the inner work process or the meditative process. So, some of the cards that reflect what I believe would reflect some of the shit that we've had to deal with in 2020. I'm going to hold them up for those that are on YouTube, but the first one that we have is the death card.
Yeah.
So the with Definitely. The death card, obviously there's been physical death in this year.
Yeah, like of course.
Have been lost, but this is talking about like the change that has been needed in 2020, that this has been a massive wake-up call for everybody.
Yeah.
And we've had to end the cycles that were happening, for example, systemic racism, sexual equality, gender equality, like so many things.
So many things, yeah.
So we've had to like basically put an end to those and start off fresh.
Yeah. Even just in your own self.
Oh yeah.
As well, like the version of yourself, because like that's another another kind of ritual that you can do as well. Is like if you look at who the person you were at the beginning and who you may be now, maybe there's like that shedding of the skin kind of that you need to. That death of who you were needs 100%. So you can make way.
Now this one may be triggering to some who are still following their doctrinated things, but we have the devil card.
Yes.
So the devil card, for those that have studied tarot, it's about the victim mentality of everything in life happens to me.
Yes.
Not for me. So it's like, oh, you make me feel, or the world made me feel, or oh, this situation made me feel. No one made you feel nothing. You're kidding yourself. Stop bullshitting yourself. I'm being a little bit harsh, aren't I?
I know, here we go.
My Capricorn rising is coming
out now. The Capricorn's coming out now.
My Capricorn rising is like, stop kidding yourself. Yes. Grow the fuck up and own up to your shit. Yes. You did that. You make yourself feel. Every emotion that you feel is your doing. No one else's.
No.
And I know that this is my Capricorn rising, but I don't even give a fuck right now. So the things that you feel are binding you in life, these restraints that you feel so stuck in your life, that's your doing. No one else's. No one can make you do, think, say, be anything other than what you allow yourself to be.
Correct.
Anyway, I would step down off my Capricorn rising pedestal. There's also the level of addiction. Sometimes some of the things we do, like I know a lot of my friends that have formed some pretty addictive behaviors through drug use, alcoholism, abusive eating, binging and purging. Like there's so many different ways.
Even like phones and social media.
Oh yeah.
And things like that is a whole new big thing now.
Yeah, so like addictive behaviors that have crept in as a means of self-soothing, like,
yeah. And I mean, that's the thing, that's where they all come from again, like what we were talking about earlier. It's about finding that emotional need that wasn't met underneath it. What is 100%. Creating that? Why are you escaping?
Exactly. What is it that you're trying to escape from?
Yeah.
Who do you think is pulling the strings in your life? Yeah,
that's it. And knowledge is the way that you can cut those things, and awareness.
100%. Now, the next one. We all know this is my favorite card, and we've already used this analogy, but it's the Tower card.
It's the Tower card.
So it's about that silver lining. It's the divine intervention where the universe has gone, you know what? You fucked up. I'm tearing all this shit down so you can start over.
Yeah. Basically, see, that's pretty much how everything has to happen in my life, because I don't do change well. So it's like,
oh, I do.
Given you opportunity to do this and you haven't. So like, you know what? I'm going to force you to do it now.
Yeah, no, I'm a water sign by nature. So for me, change is like, bring it on.
Yep.
You want to throw a pebble? Doesn't affect me. You want to throw a boulder? Whatever. Doesn't affect me. You want to throw a continental shelf? If you do that, you'll end up with a tsunami, but still, it doesn't affect me.
Yep, that's it. You're still going, but
so
that's
it's like
what it's been.
The Tower moment. So if you look at the Tower card in all tarot cards, they've got a Tower card, and they all have that very similar depiction of like it's the whole thing of the tower comes crumbling down because it's built on rocky foundations
or something.
It's that the universe has given you many opportunities, you haven't fucking listened, so they're like, well, fine, we're taking your life away, and now you're forced to start over.
That's it. You have to rebuild now.
Yeah, because
build
otherwise, you've got nothing.
Yep.
The next one. Now, this some people may not see this as why I've chosen this in the pool of cards that I have, but this is when doing the inner work. It's the Moon card.
Yes.
So the Moon card has many, many, many different layers to it. One of them is to analyze who you're being in a situation. So are you being the cutesy little puppy dog that just wants to lick everyone and da-da-da-da, or are you being that vicious wolf that wants to bite everyone's jugular out? And what's causing you to turn? Like, is it the full moon?
Yep.
Like, your emotions? Is that what's causing you to turn into this werewolf instead of being the cutesy little puppy dog?
Yeah.
The other thing, this is a very much a Scorpio card. So Scorpios, whilst they are quite mysterious and they tend to keep people very shallow, and not saying that they're shallow people, but they tend to keep
they
you
keep
at the shallows,
you. Yeah. That
whereas they bury everything deep.
Yeah.
So on that side, they are like that. So they can, like, for this card, it's telling you to go deeper on the issue, to really dig into those depths.
Yeah.
Mind you, be careful what you wish for, because some of the creepy crawlies that live down there, they're enough
they're
to
scary.
Cause nightmares. But on the other hand, as Colin pointed it out in our chat the other day, a recent episode with Colin Bedell on astrology, he was talking about the fact that Scorpio energy is the ultimate truth teller.
Yes.
Because they call it how they fucking see it.
Yeah.
They might be mysterious when it comes to themselves, but when it comes to everyone else, they will point the finger and they'll let you know. Because they're the masters of repression and suppression. So there's that energy that you could ponder on, especially when doing this inner work. Be kind to yourself. And then lastly, we have the Judgment card. So this is when we're talking about more the purging side of things, when we're getting rid of it. So the Judgment card is all about, it's that awakening that you have.
Yeah.
It's where you no longer feel the effects of others, and you release all those judgments about yourself. And it's where you have that new lease on life. And I'm trying to think, there's so many different ways I could take
it's
this.
It's almost kind of like that aha moment.
Yeah, it's the proverbial aha. But also judgment can also talk about, like, are you being the one who's being judged, or are you the one who's judging?
Yeah.
And on that note, there's a little bit of a segue here. If you're not quite sure how to delve into that specific type of stuff, oh, actually, that's quite funny how that worked out. I could have done this for each of them. Doesn't matter. So, the Judgment Detox. I love Gabrielle Bernstein.
Yeah.
Or Bernstein, however you pronounce her name. I love Gabrielle Bernstein. So she has this book called The Judgment Detox, and it's basically all about releasing the beliefs that hold you back from living a better life. So it's releasing all the judgments on yourself and on others. If you're not sure how to do this yourself, she actually comes with a journal as well.
Pre-prepared earlier.
Yeah. So pre-prepared earlier, she's got a journal that comes with it that has all the little prompters and things like that.
Yeah.
It's an amazing book. I have all of Gabby Bernstein's books. They are epic because she calls it how she sees it.
Yeah.
And if you're not one into books, she also does a lot of talks with Oprah on her podcast. Now, the one talking about the wolves, We have this one called Walk With Your Wolf, unlocking your intuition, confidence, and power. So this is actually a famous psychotherapist. So he's pioneered this thing, which is called walking therapy. And in this book, he basically invites you to walk with him and help you connect with your inner wolf, your primal instinct, and find space to process feelings, find answers to your problems, and understand that nature is the most powerful healer of all. And as witches,
yes,
that stands for us, yes, tenfold.
Yes, definitely.
Nature will always provide the answers that we're seeking.
Yeah, if we just stop enough to listen.
Yeah. Obviously, I've already talked about Best Self,
yep,
Be You Only Better by Coach Mike Bayer. And then this one is, it's kind of a bit of a woo-woo in the more, I don't know how to describe it. Don Miguel Ruiz.
Oh.
Like the Four Agreements and the Fifth Agreement and all of that. Anyway, so this particular book is called The Three Questions. How to discover and master the power within you. So it's asking three specific questions, which is, who am I, what is real, and what is love? And they give you like a practical framework to be able to clear the path for overcoming fear and discovering truth, peace of mind, and joy. And so it's basically like, it's another like very woo-woo, very, yeah. I find Don Miguel Ruiz is very much a, he's a very philosophical writer.
Yeah.
So I have to be in the right frame of mind to read his stuff, because it's like, it's very philosophical, like it's almost like reading The Alchemist.
It's very deep. Yeah, it's very deep stuff.
Like, I love The Alchemist and I love The Prophet, those two books, but they're like, I need to be in the right fucking headspace for that shit.
Yeah, you can't, it's not just a light, quick, easy kind of read that you just, you flick in, flick out.
Exactly. So I'm going to save the other five tarot cards for our next episode.
Ooh, yeah.
Which you'll have to tune in next Wednesday, which is the 30th of December. So the day before New Year's, which is when we're going to be talking about all the things you can do once you've done all the purging.
Once you've been doing the purging stuff.
Once you've done all of it. And then we've got, you know, things to look forward to.
That's right. So then we flip it around, because everything that you, and this goes for anything, whenever you're releasing or banishing or getting rid of something, the universe doesn't like a void. So we need to then bring something in. So we do need to bring something
in. Sorry, I was flipping a coin.
What are you flipping?
You flip it around. So I was flipping a coin.
Oh, like, you're flipping it around. Oh, Steve, look at you go. I love this.
Random love props it. That just happen to be lying around.
Why not? Why not?
So hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. Please do let us know what your thoughts, comments. Maybe even, let's be interactive. Like, post in the comments. What's some of the things that you're ready to let go of?
Yeah, let us know what you're ready to let go of, or what are some other prompts or questions that have started to pop up for you that you, it might be helpful for somebody else. Like, something that you can do is to look at like the traits of this year and what didn't you like about it? What did you like about it? And then start to perhaps go from there and see. But what we're kind of getting at is, I guess, really go below the surface and just 100%. Start to take the time to see what it is under there. And like we said, we would really love to hear whatever prompts you're using, or if you're doing rituals, or if you're doing what things you're doing, if you do a burning ceremony or something like that, please let us know. We would love to hear.
Because this is the thing, like, you know, other than us just talking a whole lot of stuff, like, we like hearing from you, and I'm pretty sure.
We love it. So thank you to everybody who does actually send us messages and comments and doing all those things, because we do. We really love it.
I'm pretty much guaranteeing this, but Laurie's going to comment on this post.
Yes, she will.
Laurie will, yeah.
Hi, Laurie.
Yeah, we just wanted to honor Laurie because she has the little badge as one of our top fans on Facebook.
Yes, she does. One of our top fans, and Stacey's another.
Yes, and Stacey's another one. Yes. So I feel like they're both, and especially now that we've called you out.
Yes. We need to see some comments here, people. What is this? Accountability for our actions.
We should just go to call out everyone on our podcast.
Yeah, we'll call out everybody's name.
So until our next episode, guys. So between these two episodes, because obviously this is airing on Wednesday, and the other half of this coin is going to be airing next Wednesday.
The week after. Yep. So you've got a whole week to kind of go through everything before we bring the other stuff in.
Yep. But we have an amazing interview that we've recorded with Laura Tempest Zakharov.
Yes.
So that's going to be airing this coming Saturday. So you tune in for that one, because you're not going to want to miss it. We actually are talking about sigils.
We are.
As well as like how to incorporate some movement into your... How to express yourself with your body.
So you know that's not my thing. You can see me trying to do it. There's very awkwardness. So please do tune in for that one, because that's really good.
And until then, we'll speak to you guys soon.
We'll see you soon. Take care. And remember, when you are doing this work, be kind to yourself.
Oh, please. Yes.
Compassion. Yes. Compassion is a big thing. I forgot to say that earlier. So.
Yeah. And once you've done, we should probably, before we say bye, we probably should have said
that. Yeah, we should have said that.
Once you've done all the inner work, you've written it all out, you get all that stuff out there. If you're feeling a little bit tender, self-care.
Yeah. So, definitely. Definitely. Nice,
for me, what does self-care look like? For me personally, it's a bath with essential oils, some herbs, some candles burning, not in the bath, next to the bath, some bath salts, it's some Celine Dion or some, you know, or if I'm wanting to get the emotions out and I want to actively cry, it'll be some Evanescence.
Yes. See, do you do that? I will purposely put something on that makes me cry.
Oh, 100%.
So that I get
I'm a water sign.
Yeah.
Of course I want to make myself cry. So depending on what I want to cry about will obviously dictate the type of music that I listen to. But if it's like getting rid of, like, not anger specifically, but if it's getting rid of the really deep demons inside of me, I tend to listen to a lot of Evanescence.
Yeah, me too. I love
Evanescence. I find that Evanescence is really good for that kind of, you know.
It's got that sort of broody sort of, but like that kind of feel to it. I love it too.
Anyways, so
So be kind to yourself as well. Yes. So don't sort of be too hard. And allow yourself that time.
And okay, I was gonna say one or two things. You can get comfortable into this by, like, you know, make it a bit of a ritual. Like, you might pour yourself a nice glass of your favorite wine or something.
Yep.
As long as the wine doesn't come after the inner work and it becomes your coping mechanism.
Yes, no, we don't want that. We're not looking for the avoidance stuff here. So maybe if not, have a nice cup of tea.
God.
A nice cup herbal of tea. No, but a nice herbal tea. So then you're infusing your magic into it as well.
True.
Be mindful of what you're putting into it. So that's going
to
help.
And if you don't know, go back and listen to episode 16.
Watch the herbs episode. That's right.
Sure we talk about it.
It's our longest goodbye ever, I think.
Because it's hard to say goodbye.
It is. It really is. We love you.
It's like that Sarah Brightman song, "Time to Say Goodbye." Anyway.
On that
Until next time. See you guys.
See you guys. Bye.